Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. So good to have you all with us this evening. We have a very special guest here with Ken and I this evening, Billy Francis, who's an amazing master coach. We'll be telling you so much more about her in a few minutes. But Ken, what do we have on tap today?
Today is going to be such an amazing show. I can hardly wait to share what we have with the audience. And of course, Billy is here. She's a personal friend of mine. So what's coming up on our show today is our show is designed to give our listeners some proven strategies or ways to overcome stress. But I want to warn everybody that some of the stories and the advice we're going to be talking about, you may not want to hear. But I suggest that these are the exact stories and advice that we really need to hear to reduce stress in our lives.
So glad you said that, because Billy and I were thinking of running. Sound a little scary right away.
It was. Yeah, I get it. Okay, second segment, we're going to be talking about questions to change your life. We'll be discussing how to change the direction of your day with a few simple questions that'll actually help you reduce stress. And our third segment, we're going to be talking about the alternative way. We'll be discussing unconventional ways that people have found to reduce their stress and live more lively and vibrant in the world. And then finally, we're going to be talking about the success habits that work.
So let's start off with stress. Ken, I think it would be kind of a good idea to begin with a definition of stress. We all have our idea about what stress is. But what is the official definition? So I've got two here. One is physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension, or a condition or feeling when a person perceives demands exceed their either personal and social resources that they can mobilize, that the individual can mobilize. Short version, the nonspecific response of the body to any demand for change. So when demands exceed what we think we can put out or what we're capable of doing, that creates stress. So get a load of this. There's some unbelievable statistics out there about stress. 60 to 80% of doctor visits are stress related. And only 3% of those get any kind of help with stress. I mean, actual, you know, techniques for stress management. That's horrible. 77% of the people in our country report symptoms, physical symptoms of stress. And those are really, it's a wide variance, but that would include things like depression, sleeplessness, headaches, anxiety, muscle tension, digestive disorders, heart problems, strokes, and here's the biggie. Well, high blood pressure, of course. The latest research is telling us that cancer is a result of stress. We actually have a cancer suppressant gene that gets turned off by stress, so it can't do its job and suppress cancer. And that's just the physiological stuff. Then there's the mental stuff. So we've got a big problem in this country with stress.
Well, we do. And, you know, my question is, what's causing America to stress out so much, right?
Good question.
Isn't that a good question?
Excellent.
Do you have any answers to that?
Oh, sure. Put me on the spot.
I'm the question guy. I just give you the question.
Well, you know what? I think all of us suffer stress when we're trying to balance family and work, right? That's got to be a major cause right there. Mm-hmm. We suffer stress when there are deadlines or things that need to be done by a certain time. That's one of the things that I was reading about, when there are time limitations that create stress, because now we got to perform by a certain point. Mm-hmm. And that's a big stressor. Huge stressor.
Yeah, I submit that you're right. There's stress in career. There's stress in our families. There's stress in our work lives. There's stress in even going to the gym and exercising, right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of stresses. But, you know, it's interesting because everybody doesn't experience stress the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There are individuals that I know that I've coached and work with that they can be under huge amounts of stress. And they have a mechanism inside of them where they can just release it easily and go on to the next stressor and go on to the next one and the next one. And those individuals I've modeled and I've watched and I've incorporated those in my own life. And I think we should talk about a little of those things in a minute. But first, I want to think about stress in the way America generally overcomes their stress, right? So how do we overcome our stress? Well,
or
typically,
try to make it go away.
We overeat, or we overshop, or we overwork, or we oversex, or we overdrink or eat, or we over Facebook, or we over Twitter. Maybe some of you on Twitter and Facebook.
Don't go away. He didn't mean that.
Don't go away. I'm saying sometimes it becomes a way to relieve our stress.
Sure.
And sometimes that's a good way. But sometimes it becomes an addiction in itself.
Mm-hmm. And it starts eating up our life and our time.
Exactly. Exactly. And so those aren't necessarily the ways to reduce stress.
Right.
So,
and you did forget drugs. That's a big problem.
There's a big problem in our country.
Yes.
You know, in our city, San Diego, it's a major problem. And, you know, and I submit it is one of the ways that people start, they self-medicate in the beginning. Sometimes it's just they experiment, they play with it,
right,
and they'll just self-medicate to try to reduce their stress.
Yes.
And it's hurting everyone. So
it's an interesting thing, too, I think, in our state, because marijuana has now become legal. And that's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people's favorite de-stressor. But in my experience, and this is just my experience, I find that the people that I am aware of who smoke a lot of weed don't tend to have a lot of energy for getting things done. Hmm. And, you know, it's bad enough that one of the forms of stress I am very familiar with, and I know a lot of women are, is that I call it the morning terrors. You know, when you wake up with that feeling like, oh God, what do I have to do? What did I not do yesterday that I should have done? You know, that
I don't that think thing? That's just subject to women, by the way.
Oh, good. Thank you,
I think
God.
Us guys feel that same thing now and then.
I'm glad to know that. That's true, right? You know, yeah. We're all worried about what we didn't get done and what we have to do.
Right.
And whether it's dealing with our children. I mean, I know women who are stay-at-home moms, and they're just as stressed as the career women who are also moms because, you know, it's whatever we perceive we need to accomplish or do, and we haven't done it, or we don't feel like there's enough of us to do it well. All of those things just build up and create stress.
I think so. And I think we've done a really good job of identifying the problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we ought to talk, though, is about the solutions.
Yeah, great idea.
You know, how do people reduce their stress? And I think the first part starts with the mind, like you started saying, Paula. It's like when we can let go of some of our expectations of what we should have, could have, or would have done, or have to do, or we must do, and all, you know, we start to let that go and we start to practice detachment. That can help reduce stress. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, I can't let go of my expectations. I expect my people at work to show up on a certain time and do certain things. And same thing in my family life. I expect my kids to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge is that you can, if you do that and you keep putting that energy through your body, eventually, like you said, it culminates in disease. And, you know, sometimes heart failures, cancers, all kinds of things, right? We know it's proven. AMA, 80% of stress is now disease related, right? So what do we do to change that, right? What do we do, Paula? What do you think?
I'm a big fan of meditation. And, you know, if meditation doesn't float your boat, some kind of quiet time, whether you spend it in prayer, whether you spend it listening to beautiful music, a lot of people I know like to like those little books. In fact, I know you've got one coming out, Ken, with a little word of wisdom for the day, reading that and then just focusing on that, thinking about it. You know, how can you incorporate that into your day and into your life? But I think stilling ourselves and quieting ourselves is so powerful. Mm. One of my favorite ways that's simple and doesn't take 20 minutes, because everybody, when I say meditate, says, I don't have 20 minutes or a half hour. There's a process called balanced breathing. And our listeners can go to a video on my YouTube channel and see me demonstrating balanced breathing. It's a combination of a yoga posture and a breath method. And it's incredibly powerful. Even if you just do it for 2 minutes, it's like hitting the restart
what
button.
What website is that? So they
it's on YouTube, Paula Shaw Counseling.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. In fact,
breath,
you know, while we're
powerful.
Talking about that, on my website, kendifoster.com, there is a scientific meditation sampler pack.
Ooh.
And so they can get that for free. Go to my site and go on under the product page there. And what that does is gives you some information from Harvard and MIT about the benefits of meditation, gives you some instruction on how to sit and, you know, what to look at and what you're doing, mm-hmm. and also gives you some guided meditation. So go to kendifoster.com to get
that. I love that. And I think before we close this segment, we might want to remind our listeners that meditation doesn't necessarily have to happen when you're sitting still. Some of my clients who are movers, you know, I send them on walking meditations, gratitude walks. If you just walk with a certain attitude of gratitude, that can be a really wonderful quieting process.
I love that, because I think a lot of people call that mindfulness, right? Where
mm-hmm.
That's a mindful practice. And I would probably distinguish it from meditation, at least a stillness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually stilling the mind. But at the same time, you are getting yourself into a place where all the chaos starts to leave the mind and you start to go within. So.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of meditation. All right. We're going to take a little break. And in our next segment, you're going to get to meet the fabulous Master Coach, Billy Francis. We'll be right back.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, where we're exploring the world of change with you. Today, our guest is Billy Francis, and we're going to be talking about all about coaching, her coaching school, what she's up to. And Paul, why don't you introduce our guest?
Billy Francis, Master Coach, Business and Lifestyle Coaching. She is the founder of Guiding Mindful Change. She's dedicated to helping others, and I can tell you firsthand, this is a lovely lady. She jumped right into the chaos this morning. This is a woman who can think on her feet. And she has so many certifications, and she's the head of so many things in the coaching world. I can only tell you she's sort of like an icon of coaching. She's board-certified coach. She is provider for both the Center for Credentialing and Education, board certified coach, the BCC, health and wellness coaches. So let me just say, the woman knows how to coach. And you actually even know her as a person
I've known Billy for the last 15 years or so, probably more than that. And, you know, my wife went through her coaching school. And Billy has one of the most comprehensive programs in the coaching world, where she actually teaches people how to be a coach. So Judy went through her school and she came home and now she's a coach, right? And now she wants to coach me and she wants to coach everybody. And she's trying all Billy's techniques out, because Billy told him to practice on everybody, right?
Oh, I love that.
So it's been amazing. But honestly, it is really because Judy has the skill sets of a coach, she's able to help our family in ways that she didn't have access to before. Mm. So, Billy, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, Billy, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get going in this?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Paula and Ken, for having me. You know, I got started based on an inspiration. I already had a credential as a therapist, already had a credential in coaching. I've been coaching for a number of years. And something said to me, you have a methodology. So I found that I actually had a unique way to do coaching, which included mindfulness practice and self-awareness and all of these wonderful things. And so I listened to the call and decided, yes, indeed, I have a methodology, and I chose to teach it. And what Ken's reporting is the outcome of that, which is a certification. So I'm delighted to have done that. I have to admit, I had very humble beginnings.
As a lot of us.
My first training in San Diego in 2000 was consisted of two women and a dog.
The dog turned out to be the best.
The dog turned out to be a great coach because the women are now full-time coaches. And the dog, Shadow, decided that he did not want to be a canine companion. Uh-huh. He wanted to be a fire dog. So even he got the benefit of being in the course.
So he must have been somebody who was good at a higher stress level of interacting.
Figured out who he was. And that's what one of the best ways we can do to reduce stress.
Well, you know, that dog's name is interesting, Shadow, because doesn't coaching kind of touch on the shadow we all carry around?
If people are willing. And I think, again, it's through self-awareness and self-discovery that people can say, gee, what are the things that I don't look for, that I don't know about? We do that with our clients, and we do that, of course, with ourselves. So I'm happy to report that since the two women and a dog, we now have certified hundreds of coaches all over the nation. We've grown, and I'm thrilled to be a part of this.
And this is movement. A sort of a technique that you're saying, or is it just embracing the mindfulness techniques within the coaching?
That's a great way to say it. You know, there's coaching, there's coach training, and we do embrace the mindfulness techniques as the heart of what we do.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because that's basically how I run my practice too. I use a lot of the tools of energy psychology, but also mind-body techniques. And I mean, it moves people so much faster. Yeah. You know, because we all know, well, actually, I'm not sure everybody does know, the conscious mind. This intellectual conscious mind is only 5% of the mind functioning. 95% is subconscious mind. So if we aren't coming in from another level through the energy, through the other aspects, the heart, the emotions and the mind, you know, we are missing the boat in a huge way. And it takes so much longer to move through our issues.
It's like, why would we want to, if we had a whole committee that could inform us, why would we only say, well, only you can speak the mind? We let the whole being inform us.
Oh, I love the way you said that. I love the way you put that.
Thanks.
And in this segment, we often talk about questions to change your life, because questions really can change your life. And I know one of the ones that came to me when we were talking about stress earlier, one of the questions I ask myself, and I encourage my clients to ask themselves, is, how important is it really? How important is it really? Because it's because we think it's so important and we have to do something, whatever it is, that we get ourselves to this point of stress, which we now know is so dangerous on every level, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically.
You know, the question part is really important in coaching. And it's, I think it's actually, it's at the core of a competent coach. They really have to be able to get outside of themselves, focus in on the client, and be able to kind of tune into the question that would help that client get to the next stage. Can you talk a little bit about that, Billy?
I sure can. And it ties in with what Paula was saying. The coach's questions can come from their brains too, exclusively, down a list of formatted questions. Or if the coach has been willing to do their own work and know themselves and ask themselves the questions, then those questions bubble up from within, from the connection.
Yes.
It's a very different thing to have a connection and say, what question is that client asking me to ask them? But it can only happen if the coach has done their work.
Well, you know, what I get when I'm sitting in a coaching session is that, of course, the mind doesn't resolve in the brain. It doesn't reside here. It's a full being mind.
Yeah.
And so it's really tuning into that awareness. And do you feel like at sometimes when you're teaching these coaching courses or working with a student, that you're actually kind of just tuning into their own energy field, their own mind? Is that, I'm kind of getting out there a little bit, but I'm wondering what your thought around that is.
You know, I invite them, just like we do with clients, I invite them to explore themselves. A lot of self-reflection, a lot of introspection, a lot of self-discovery, so that they know themselves and they are not, ignoring, as we said earlier, just all these aspects of them. The hardest thing, excuse me, is to almost go absent. Like if the coach can just be available without their agenda, yes, neutral, without their biases and their beliefs and their filters, then they can really be there and listen from an impeccably different place, impeccably wonderful place of just listening. What is that client saying? What's the, and then our questions are informed by that. So we follow up with, what's most important to you? What do you most need right now? And the clients know, I love that. They start off with the word maybe. And that's golden. So if a client just stops and pauses and thinks, and well, maybe I could invite some of my colleagues to contribute to me. Or maybe I could move around a little bit at work to get some exercise. Maybe I could. So that's the self-awareness piece.
And what I hear you saying is it almost comes from the higher mind when everybody's tuned in the right way, when the coach has done their personal work and they can guide almost from within themselves, coming from higher mind. And it's got to happen on a much huger level.
Yeah.
You know, change is going to happen on a much huger level.
So clients that come to you, Billy, or to your coaches, do they work with people that are stressed? Because I'm sure they do, right? What are some of the questions somebody might ask a person that's a little stressed out, right? They come in, they're a little frantic, and they're worried, about their future. Do you have some specific questions somebody could ask themselves or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the fun thing is in our course, we have pages and pages of questions. And we get used to learning, to use some of those and which ones are applicable in what circumstances. But my highest hope is that somehow I can create invisible ink so that after our training, when they've practiced certain questions I've given them, that they all disappear off the page.
Yeah.
And the questions come from the connection with the client. One of my favorites, I think I've already mentioned, is what do you most need right now? So someone who comes in stressed, they're expecting me to say, well, do this, do this, do this. That's not coaching. I won't do that for them and to them. So what do you most need right now is a really powerful question. We want to find out about their resources. You know, what's in your world that could support you right now? And they can identify people or techniques or websites or something that, well, maybe I could check that out, so that they begin to form a plan, almost an action strategy plan, so that they can move away from the stressful situation, see possibilities they would never have seen before.
You know, I love that, not only in a coaching setting, but in life. I mean, I think our listeners could really take some value from that. And if your friend is hurting, you know, if your mom has a problem or your child, what do you most need right now is a great question. Yeah. How can I serve you? What exists in your world that's already supporting you? Those are fabulous questions.
You know, the questions I like too is to also, open up possibilities. And so, for instance, a question may be like, what are some of the steps you could take right now to relieve your stress? Those kind of types of thoughts. And I think everybody can design those questions for themselves. If they'll just be aware and tune in, and if you
realize,
can't, then I think it's important to hire a coach.
Absolutely.
Hire a coach, or if you're thinking about being a coach, if you're a mentor, somebody that's helping others in your family and you like to get better, I think this is the way to go.
And if you want to know about Billy's program, you want to go to guidingmindfulchange.com. That's guidingmindfulchange.com. We'll be talking much more about that in our next segment.
Let me just give you another little piece of that. guidinglifemindfulchange.com/strategy.
Okay.
guidingmindfulchange.com/strategy, and you'll get all kinds of fun things with Billy there.
And we'll be right back with Billy. Billy Francis, that is.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. We're here with Billy Francis, master coach, a woman who can really, really help you with business lifestyle coaching, and also the founder of Guiding Mindful Change. So in this segment, The Alternative View... Well, you got it right this time, Ken.
Well, I got the alternative view. Yeah.
Yes.
So what were we saying before?
You
the
kept
alternative
saying
way.
The alternative way. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there is an alternative way in the alternative
view. To explain that to our listeners, yeah. I'm looking at my show notes, and every week we call it the alternative view, but he writes it up as the alternative way. So I looked at my notes and went, yay. So I'm sorry for the sidetracking in this segment. back to reality here. We're going to talk about what's happening in coaching today. Billy, you're a perfect person during this segment to talk about the fact that what you were just saying about your coaching training is you're bringing in alternative, what we might call practices or therapies. You're bringing in mindfulness. You're bringing in all that in your training. And then I'm sure encouraging your coaches to use that with their clients as well. Is that correct?
We absolutely encourage the coach to practice, we call them mindful practices, as really part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
And as you were saying earlier, I don't dictate what those are. It could be sitting meditation. It could be walking in nature. It could be whatever supports them to be more present. It turns out that we don't teach our clients about mindfulness. But they come to say things at the end of working with us. I'm just so much more aware.
Mm.
That's music to our ears because the coaching approach is about expanding their awareness, really expanding their options. If they expand their options, like when people only have two choices, I can go here, I can go there, I can go right, left, yes, no. That's stressful. Mm-hmm. There's not any choice in that. So the coach helps them expand options. Now they can make choices based on more alternatives, which is so much less stress producing to think, well, I don't like chocolate, so I have to eat vanilla. That's not enough choice. So we help them expand that. And then they do find that they have choice with whether it's in their work life, their business life, whatever. And that itself is a de-stressor.
I love that. Choice really is a way of de-stressing, you know, you made a point earlier, Ken, I wanted to comment. You were talking in the last segment about various ways of handling stress, but I think one of the points that's so important that we want to stress is we don't have to be stressed. People think stress is like this monster that takes control of you and you have no power against it. But that isn't true. Like these methods we're talking about, whether you do a breathing practice, whether you just say to yourself, how important is this? Or go for that 30,000 foot. Is that how you say it? The 30,000 foot view? You know, the God view.
Right.
So you're looking at it in the big picture of life. You know, how important is this?
Yeah.
Or is it worth sacrificing now for this tomorrow that hasn't even happened yet?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that we're talking about stress here, you know, I personally have experienced a lot of stress in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have had to go through some real challenging times. And, you know, at one point I got in tune with the way I handle stress is I just get upset or get angry. Right. So that was my default. Other people handled stress by becoming quiet or being aloof or leaving the room, right? Or not communicating. Mm-hmm. Of course, those are dysfunctional ways to handle our stress. And when a person, what my experience is, because you know, I've been a coach for 21 years myself, when we start to ask the right questions, when we go in, when we take a training like Billy's, and I've taken several, to learn how to become aware, like you said, the choice piece, that's probably the most important thing we can learn mm-hmm. in this life. Because when you have three choices, four choices, five choices, 10 choices, right? And now, you know, now you got another problem, right? Now
that's right.
Problems.
That's a stressor. Right?
Now I got a stress. I got
too
so
much. Choice.
I'm playing on the creative field of life. I've got too many choices. You know, but that opens up your world of possibility, mm-hmm. and then your life can get much, much better because you can make those positive choices, mm-hmm. which I know is what coaching is all about.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Being at choice—that's huge. Yeah.
So, Billy, in the school, when you teach people through the training, like what are some of the results they walk out of with your training?
And before you answer that mm-hmm. question, Billy, would you give them that website address again? Because some people may have just joined our show.
Certainly.
How do they find you? How do they learn more about you?
Well, my website is guidingmindfulchange.com. And I really have a special invitation for people who want to spend a little more time one-on-one with me. Mm-hmm. And I do that through a thing I call a strategy or a discovery session. So people can go to guidingmindfulchange.com/strategy, and they can look at the criteria that I have there for to set up one of those sessions. I really enjoy speaking with people who are really ready to make some changes. And so that's a lovely
and
way
And is
to,
this like phone, Skype? How do they do it?
Yeah, they reach me. We do have a phone conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's accessible for anyone and everyone.
Yeah, because I think that sounds great. A lot of people out there might be thinking, I should be a coach. I could be a coach. This sounds like my kind of thing. Yeah. So you help them really identify whether or not that's a fit. Right?
Absolutely. If it's a fit for them. And if not, let's have a lovely time together and find out what your next best move is, your next step. I'm not charging for these. It's a $500 value type of a session, but I'm really wanting to reach people. And as I say, great. If we're a fit, we can continue the conversation. If not, then it's just absolutely my gift.
And they just go to guidingmindfulchange.com/strategy.
Strategy.
And they get to check this out.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a win-win.
What a beautiful gift for our listeners. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is transition radio. Is there anybody that's not going through a transition or you haven't been through one? So Billy's there to really help you with that and, you know, and help you look at that transition. Oh. And it's, help you get to the other side.
And it's just a joy for me. It's a joy for me, obviously, with my individual clients, but also with students who, you know, really find ways to help people in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. We have all been told what to do. We've all been told what to do. I've had one of my graduates is a nurse, 35 years of nursing. She said, Billy, it hasn't worked yet to tell people what to do. Mm. So we learn to not do that. We don't come instantly with our great ideas, whether it's in our work or our friendships or our families. We don't just say, well, how about this? Why don't you do this? That doesn't work. But what does work is to engage them and help them expand and explore. And it's very exciting to watch the little light bulbs go off and the possibilities. I love that word, Ken. It's so key. Expanding possibilities mm-hmm. for people.
So it's possible that in my home life, I wouldn't tell anybody what to do and they wouldn't tell me what to do. I love that concept. That would be good.
Are you listening, Judy?
This wasn't directed towards Judy by any means. No.
But I think that you make a great point, Billy, in that it seems like the only answers that really work are the answers that come from within us, right? Because then you don't have to push somebody to take action. They want to take action. And I'm talking about that not just in business, but with our children, with our spouses, you know, in our relationships, you know, asking those questions and creating a condition in which a person can come up with their own thought and their own question and their own solution, right?
And that's so key because I love coaching because where else in our lives do we have a supportive, nurturing, non-attached in your corner person, your spouse, your family, your coworker, they've got an agenda, but your coach is there to just champion you to take that next step. And it's a very sacred relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I find with the coaches is that a lot of times they'll believe in the client until the client can believe for themselves, whatever they're going
through. That's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge.
So tell me again, I want to ask that question again. So with the coaching school, when the coach is complete, how does their lives change? Or what kind of results do some of them get, you know, or maybe all of them? I don't know.
The thing that I'm most joyful about is everyone finds a little more of themselves in the process. I've had many, many, many people say, Billy, the personal development was worth the price of admission. Mm. So there's always personal growth that happens and self-awareness. They also get a skill set that is, they've anchored in it, they've practiced it, they've worked with real clients, they've honed it and tweaked it and had lots of mentoring from me and support from each other. So they go away really confident. I know how to coach. I know it's different than other things I've done. I know how it's, when to use it, when not to use it. So they go away with a great skill set. And they have built in into our program is we give them ways to develop a marketing structure.
So they
don't only have a skill. They say, no, well, how does it apply to me? How do I find my ideal clients and get out there and connect with them?
That's great. And I think we want to tell everybody your website one more time. So why don't you mention
that? I would be thrilled. Yeah. Guiding Mindful Change is the name of the website. It actually has been around since 1993. The name came to me and it fits everything I do. So it's an umbrella for all of my work. Guiding Mindful Change. And if there are people who would like to come and spend a little time with me and it's something you want to really move forward, then I have I call them strategy sessions at guidingmindfulchange.com/strategy.
Okay. And Ken, what's coming up in our next segment?
Coming up in our next segment, we're going to be talking about some of the habits that you can use in your life right now to change those stressors in your life. So stay tuned.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, and we are going to be talking about success habits that will change your life. We're going to be talking specifically maybe success habits that can change the stressors in your life. We talked a little bit about those, the meditation technique, and everybody's not necessarily tuned into meditation, which is fine. Like you said, I think earlier, people perceive that as something that's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
I think we start where we start. Most people start with maybe 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. But there's so many other ways to reduce stressors, right?
Some people
can go shopping. Well, oh, wait, was that the good stressor?
Oh, yeah, we were.
Wait, well, we got rid of those. So I'm so sorry. Actually, what I was thinking is,
I got a good one.
Is dancing. I think dancing is a cool stress relief.
That's great.
You know, it's something that right now, you know, when I wake up in the morning every day, and Billy knows this because I've told her, and I think you do too, Paul, I ask the question, what can I do to make my wife's life better?
Oh, my God. You should be teaching workshops to all the men in America.
By the way, today is my wife's birthday, so I got to acknowledge that on the air.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Judy.
Happy birthday, Judy.
We just I love you so much. And, you know, we've been married 18 years. We just had our anniversary, so... But, you know, she loves to dance. So that's what I was thinking. You know, dancing is such a fun thing. In fact, we got a dance party coming up. I can't put that on the air, but we've got that. So I'll be letting you two know about that. So.
All right.
Okay. Good, so what are the other suggestions?
I'm big on exercise. You know, whether you are walking, whether you're going to the gym, I love to do classes because I get so bored on the elliptical and the the running thing. And I love to do classes, but exercise is huge.
But here's a funny question. I'm going to ask Billy this question. Billy, how do people overcome their challenge of not dancing or not going to the gym or not going wherever they are, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's blocks. See, we go, yes. Oh, that's a good idea. They're listening to our show and go, yeah, we should go dancing. That's the end of it.
Yeah. Then that's sometimes what happens is someone gives us from the outside a great idea and we don't relate to it. So we break it down into the tiny little possibility that they could start with. Mm. Would it be helpful to listen to music?
Baby steps.
And tap your foot? Would it be helpful, walk outside to your mailbox, as opposed to, I've got to do an exercise program, be just like Paula and be all excited and dance around my house like Ken and Judy do. So it's
we actually do that.
Yeah. It's breaking it down and we ask that. What's a small step you could take in the direction that you want to go for your life? And they'll come up with something and then we build on it.
That's brilliant. That's really brilliant. You know, that kind of reminds me of what I suggest to people around January 1st, because you know what everybody's doing January 1st, making resolutions that they're probably by January 15th going to have broken. And so it's a design disaster, right? So what I tell them too is find something you already like that you're doing and expand on that. Do it better. You know, maybe like Ken's a crazy triathlon guy. But so if he was only doing bike, then maybe we could add the swimming. Of course, he does three things, bike, swimming, and what's the other one?
And running.
Running.
Yeah. Well, you know what I tell people? I say, listen, think about something you've never done before that would be fun for you. Mm-hmm. And make the commitment, find the courage, right? And take the action to go do it. And yeah. And you know what happens if we consistently do that? Billy knows what happens, Billy.
Well, we actually find out if we like it or not. Number one, we find out ways to
exactly.
We find out ways to modify it to really make it our own, and we find joy. Potentially, that's the idea.
That's
things are fun
one.
And enjoyable, and then they're more likely to be sustainable. We've customized it, and now it's mine to do. I'm like you, Paul. I love to move, but I need a class. I like classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The elliptical, boring for me. But
thank you.
Get me in a place where I can move with others, and I'm happier.
Isn't that the key, though? Everything I do, whether it's in business or whether it's in workout, I have people I do things with because I might keep that commitment to myself, but I'm sure as heck going to keep it to my friends and my partner and my wife. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have a challenge with that, which I do, I can be lazy. I can wake up and go, I'm just going to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But if I have somebody that says, hey, you know what? I've made a commitment to go ride a bike with somebody.
Right.
I'm going to be there. So that's a success habit. I implore all the time is putting a team around me so that I can keep my commitments to myself.
Yes.
By the way, what happens if we don't keep our commitments to ourselves? Anybody ever think about that?
Well, that's a stressor, isn't it?
That's a stressor.
Because you know what happens is that if we, there's two predominant ways we lose our self-confidence. One is negative self-talk, and two is what I just said. Make a commitment and then don't keep it, right? All of a sudden you wake up one day and you go, I don't really feel confident like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an inside job. Everything we're talking. That's why I love being with these coaches today. We're talking.
And maybe if you don't keep your commitments, you don't like yourself as much. And that's huge. If we don't love ourselves, let's start with liking ourselves, liking what we do. But if we don't truly love ourselves, it's so hard to take your life to the next level. Because why do you deserve it? You know, if you don't love yourself, you don't know why you deserve it.
Now, there's people out there listening to this going, love yourself? What? What are you talking about?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. And yes, it's a good thing. Not from an ego place, look at how great I am, but from a sense of awareness of your gifts, your talents, your abilities, what you've accomplished in this world. And when you start to really connect in that level, you're connecting actually to a little higher part of yourself. That's where the brilliance comes. That's where the flow comes.
And that's when Billy was talking about joy. That's where real joy gets created from, right?
Yeah, what did I do today that I can be proud of?
Nice.
I mean, and in some days that's putting the bedspread over the pillow. Not a complete bed, you know, making the bed, but you did something. But something you're proud of, mm-hmm. that you can do. And I agree so much with that New Year's resolution idea. That is a setup for failure, mm-hmm. because you already know as you're planning it, I will not probably do this. That undermines, undermines the confidence, undermines the well-being. And we're here to, you know, especially in when we coach people, support people, break it down to a place where you're really likely to succeed. Stretch it a little bit, find out where you can move forward, but be successful and then move forward with strengths.
You know what I found as a coach is that people can hear what we're talking about right now. You know, you can even absorb it. There's this other piece that happens when somebody else is sitting across from you. And that's what life coaching is all about. Mm-hmm. That's what business coaching is all about. And that's what Billy does so brilliantly. And that's why she's a master coach. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about you is that you work for a major corporation for many years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're willing to talk about that, but... How did you change the corporate environment by just coming in as a coach, right?
Well, the good news, I can now name the company because it's been long enough. We did that for 8 years. We worked with IBM, and our coaches all over the country were kind of partnered up with employees all over the country, specifically about their wellness. Now, the good news is it was wellness that was according to the client. So was it wellness for work-life balance? Was it wellness for health? Was it wellness for, you know, mental stability, whatever? Stability, that was a little wild, but what was the wellness about to them? And we had a very successful run for 8 years. That was 16 consecutive six-month contracts. And the clients, again, at the end, they just felt more aware and made wonderful changes, figured things out they could never figure out by themselves. Ken, to your point, when there's somebody else that is holding your possibility,
yes,
then you can step into it and you don't feel, you feel encouraged and not judged, and it's really much more likely to happen. What a great way to go through life stressless.
I think coaching provides inspiration and maybe suggestions for action. And then there's that accountability piece because, you know, we'd all rather do something else. Mm-hmm. But when we're operating at our best, we can do some amazing things. And speaking of some amazing coaching, Ken, your nonprofit, Stars of Courage, is providing coaching for people living at the poverty level, correct?
That's what we do. And we do everything we're talking about here, right? We are holding possibility and helping individuals that really haven't had the opportunity, because coaching can be pricey,
sure,
to be able to have a coach. Our volunteer coaches that come into this program volunteer an hour or more of their time, and we work with individuals that are living 200% or less of the federal guidelines for poverty. So that might be a single mom with two children that's just barely struggling and barely making it. We've had several people come in like that. And they can stay in our program to up to about $60,000 in income for a single mom with two. That's a head of the household with two children.
Uh-huh.
So it's warming to watch a person that's been on government subsidies or have just given up hope or wonder if they can ever make it in this world, to be able to get a coach, a life coach, and be able to meet with that coach on a consistent basis and watch, like Billy was saying, instead of black and white, it's this way or that way, all the possibilities start opening up and they realize that they can have an amazing life. So I just like to encourage anyone that is either a coach or maybe you're listening to me on this and you're struggling right now. Go to starsofcourage.org, starsofcourage.org. Right there, you can click on the tab that says get involved, and you can get involved as a coach. You can get involved as an advocate. You can get involved as a donor, somebody that's contributing to us, or you can most importantly get involved as a star. We call you guys stars because we're all stars, right?
I love that.
We're all stars of courage.
And the star would be somebody who receives the coaching, correct?
Thank you. Yes, that's who receives the coaching from other stars, right? Beautiful. Other star coaches.
Okay. Speaking of star coaches, we certainly have them in the room today. And I want to thank you so much, Billy, for what just fabulous, fabulous information and insight that you shared with our listeners today. It's just a joy being in your presence. Thank this you. Woman glows.
My pleasure to be with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think the studio is actually radiating light. Are you feeling it on our Facebook and Twitter feeds? You see the halos around everybody? Okay. Oh, you don't? Well, you got to keep working on it.
All right. And next week, we're going to have another action-packed show.
Oh, we do. We have Dr. David Kruger coming up, and David's going to be talking about change your mind to change your brain, the art of neuroscience of change, reinvention, and success. I can hardly wait. That's going to be an amazing show.
You neuroscience is really hot right now. There's so much exciting stuff going on.
You know, neuroscience is proving what some of the 5,000-year-old teachings of the the yogis and the saints and sages, everybody said all that stuff's all made up. Well, they're starting to prove it. So come and listen to this, and you'll be blown away.
If I wasn't going to be on the show, I'd be listening, because it sounds really exciting to me.
We'll actually have to listen to play it back. Listen, I want to also thank you, Billy, for being here. It's really, this studio has sparkled and glowed today. It's been fun. One more time, let's tell our listeners how to get a hold of you.
Thank you. I'd be happy to hear from people who want to check things out with me. My website is guidingmindfulchange.com. And if you're interested in one-on-one time with me, it's guidingmindfulchange.com/strategy. Thank
All
you
All right. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Paula.
It was another great fun day. And we will all be together again next week on Transition Radio.
We sure will. Man, that was fun.
Good evening.